Search and rescue efforts are underway to find two missing crew members of a Chinese fishing boat that sank near Kinmen at 2 a.m. on Thursday.
The boat is called the Minglong Yu 61222 and sank 1.1 nautical miles southwest of Dongding Island, throwing all six crew members into the sea. Two of them were rescued alive, another two were found dead, and two remain missing. Taiwan's Coast Guard Administration dispatched boats and helicopters to the area near the incident, working together with Chinese rescuers. The incident comes just 1 month after two Chinese men drowned while being chased by the Taiwan Coast Guard in waters near Jingmen. Taiwan-U.S. military cooperation has hit a new milestone. According to foreign media reports, officers from the U.S. Army's Special Forces have been stationed in Taiwan to help with military training.
The military advisors are reportedly stationed at amphibious bases in Kinmen and Penghu to train local troops. The move was made in accordance with the U.S.'s 2023 National Defense Authorization Act.
A mini helicopter, smaller than the soldier's hand, takes off into the sky. The Norway-made Black Hornet Nano is a micro unmanned aerial vehicle that can be used to collect and transmit images in real time. Reports say U.S. Army Special Forces officers are assisting with training for Taiwan's army. The reports say some of the U.S. officials have been stationed permanently in Taiwan.
There are inevitably some shortcomings when it comes to our nation's military operations and war preparations. So, we have to conduct exchanges and learn from our allies, be they groups, organizations, or countries. They identify our problems and help us improve while we learn from their strengths. This is standard practice.
Foreign media reports say that, following the U.S.'s 2023 National Defense Authorization Act, the U.S. has stationed military advisors at amphibious command centers in Jinmen and Penghu to conduct drills with Taiwan's elite units. The approach marks a departure from previous training programs, which did not involve the long-term stationing of military personnel. The move has been hailed as a milestone for Taiwan-U.S. military cooperation. As China escalates its military aggression, Taiwan is boosting its military cooperation with the U.S. while upgrading its own training drills. Starting in April, the Air Force will be conducting its annual shooting training in two areas east of the median line of the Taiwan Strait. One goes from Penghu to Taichung, and the other from Taichung to Taipei. The border of the areas comes very close to the median line.
Areas where shooting and training will be conducted are planned ahead of training. For us, the median line of the Taiwan Strait is very important, so we have designated many training areas there. That's where we conduct drills. If that space is infringed upon, we'd be left with nowhere to do training. The median line isn't just for war preparations and response times.
Taiwan is set on holding drills near the median line of the Taiwan Strait, which Beijing has claimed doesn't exist.
China's anti-secession law is turning 19 years old this year. The law legally allows Beijing to resort to forceful means to oppose Taiwan independence in the case that peaceful unification is deemed impossible. In a recent interview, United Microelectronics founder Robert Cao said that almost two decades from its passing, the law was still being used by Beijing to intimidate Taiwan.
He announced that he would organize a series of seminars on the matter with international think tanks in the U.S., Japan, and the EU. Let's hear from Cao.
The anti-secession law is packed with deception. It doesn't mention the ROC or the PRC at all. It just says China and Taiwan. The ROC and the PRC are two countries and neither is subordinate to one another. But even so, China is used as a term to cover both. That is all likes. After the Pacific War between Japan and the U.S., Japan relinquished Taiwan, but no treaty was drawn to specify that Taiwan should be handed over to China. The CCP shouldn't try to justify itself with the Potsdam Declaration. The declaration has nothing to do with them because the PRC didn't even exist back then.
Cao says that the law received little pushback from the international community due to China's economic rise back in the day. But he says that now that countries around the world are decoupling from China, Taiwan should assert its stance more firmly. The first seminar will take place in Washington, D.C. in May, with a second one to be held in Taiwan in June. He hopes that the event will motivate the international community and the people of Taiwan to stand up against China's authoritarianism. Valentine's Day may have been exactly a month ago, yet the taste bud of food lovers are feeling the love today during Japan's romantic holiday known as the White Day.
Taiwan Railway and Cebu Railway served up one-day-only chichibu-style pork chop bento boxes on Thursday. But there's no need to fret if you didn't get your hands on the limited edition meal, as today was just the beginning of the partnership between these two railways.
With March 14th being White Day, Taiwan Railway's catering department and Japanese conglomerate Cebu worked together to create a chichibu-style pork chop bento box that's only on sale today. FTV met a few foodies who were lucky enough to get their hands on the limited edition meal.
The city's pork chops are really incredible. Chichibu also has something called miso marinated meat. Over there, the restaurants truly are a great deal.
This actually isn't the limited edition meal's first time around. 3 years ago, the public raved about the Chichibu-style pork chops, and today the same delicious taste has been recreated. The bento's even lured in a customer from another country.
I'm here because Taiwan Railway and Cebu Railway created this together. At this special time, we've specially created this one-day-only pop-up shop selling Chichibu-style pork chop bento boxes for Taiwan Railway bento box enthusiasts.
Dozens of people were lining up for the bento's delectable pork chops, as well as its vast array of colorful and mouth-watering side dishes. This year, Cebu Railway sent a group to Taiwan to take part in a ceremony celebrating that the two railway companies will be working together in order to boost railway tourism in both countries.
In terms of what makes this special, what our two railways are primarily focusing on is the moving kitchen concept. This way, travelers can enjoy some delicious food while they take in the beautiful scenery outside the train's windows.
With a freshly signed agreement, which represents the friendship between Taiwan and Japan, both railways will continue working side by side to create delicious food that they expect will win over the hearts of both Taiwanese and Japanese travelers.
A British-Taiwanese photographer recently made a splash in Taiwan, impressing art lovers with her analog photos.
Mavis CW decided to start her career as an artist despite her original education in science and engineering. The career change happened after getting inspired by one of the great photographers of the 20th century. Let's take a look.
Foreigners don't put things back in their place like we Asians do. You will see scenes like this.
British-Taiwanese photographer Mavis CW showed us around her show.
Henri Cartier-Bresson, Ou-Lie-Song.
The work of Henri Cartier-Bresson shocked my soul because his work is extremely narrative and emotional. It personally influenced me intensely.
Her work is influenced by the surrealist photographer Henri Cartier-Bresson, and she adopts his signature black and white. Her photos often feature distinctive street scenes from London and New York. She read Cartier-Bresson's publication, The Decisive Moment, while studying in the UK, and was moved to begin her own journey with the camera.
As far as I'm concerned, photography is an art. The street is my canvas, and the camera is my brush. I want to chart a series of scenes of the ups and downs of human life.
The photographer is bringing the stories she finds on the streets of London back to audiences in Taiwan.
Taiwan shares crumbled during the Thursday's trading session after losses across the board in the three major U.S. stock indexes on Wednesday. At one point, the TAIEX shed more than 150 points to hit a low of 19,775. In the end, a TSMC rally pushed shares to close up 0.05% at 19,937 points.
Though the artificial intelligence stocks are stalling, major tech companies continue to be optimistic about the technology. Among them is Intel, which is expecting that more than 1,100 million AI PCs will be sold by 2025.
A woman speaks in the video. press a button and the artificial intelligence system changes her voice to a masculine pitch. AI can be used to change the sound of voices in recordings and also the appearance of people in photographs. Dynamic special effects can also be set up with ease. The opening video of last year's 60th Golden Horse Awards was made in just 1 month, thanks to AI.
Hardware and software have to be integrated in order to create applications. We've worked with more than 100 software companies around the world, and currently, this software offers more than 300 effects and features.
In an attempt to break into the AI market, last year, Intel launched its AI PC acceleration program to create the first AI PC design platform. The company expects that its processors will power more than 230 laptop designs this year. It is aiming to provide core processors for 100 million AI PCs by 2025.
I think AI is just in its first year. We are at a very, very early stage. The ecosystem and our business partners should be able to produce a lot of products, including hardware. This will create a lot of output value.
AI applications are surging, but that was not the case for Taiwan tech-related stocks on Thursday. The trading sessions saw big fluctuations, with the market nosediving to a low of 19,775.5 points during the trading session, a dip of 153 points. Later on in the day, a TSMC rally propped up the board, with finance and heavy electric stocks further pushing the index into gains territory. In the end, Taiwan shares closed slightly higher.
Most of the world's marathons are held on terrain that varies from flat to hilly. But the Taipei 101 Vertical Marathon poses a different kind of challenge. The endurance athletes competing in the event push themselves to run up flight after flight of stairs to the very top of the skyscraper.
This excruciating test of fitness was also selected as the Tower Running World Association's 2024 World Championship Race, an event that Taipei last held in 2018.
Competitors from around the world are running up flight after flight of stairs, a test of endurance and strength. This footage is from last year's Taipei 101 Vertical Marathon, which features 91 floors and 2,046 steps. The finish line is 390 meters above the ground. Despite being well past 60 years old and running a financial news outlet, Xie Jinghe is an avid amateur road race runner who will once again be competing in this year's event, which is also called the Taipei 101 Run-Up. Xie finished in just 28 minutes last year, and 64-year-old Minister Without Portfolio Jiang Jinsen finished 1 minute faster than Xie.
I've never pursued a certain PR. I'm just testing out my fitness. So if I run faster or run slower, none of that has ever mattered to me. Before the pandemic, this championship race was extremely important to the world because it was the site of the Tower Running World Championships. This year, the pandemic is over, which allows us to hold the World Championship race event again. So the race will probably get the world's attention.
The Taipei 101 Vertical Marathon will be held on May 4th and registration begins on March 15th. This is the second time Taipei 101 will serve as the venue of the Tower Running World Association's World Championship race. So this year there will be two divisions, an open group and the TWA group, which will be more physically taxing. The TWA group will start from ground level and then race up 91 floors, and then just 1 hour later they'll run up 59 floors.
This time I just want to break my own PB, so for this year I hope I can place in the top 30.
Last year, Zhao Ruijun won the women's division, and this year she is hoping to keep performing well as she competes against tower running enthusiasts from around the world.
Many prospective homeowners choose to buy a house with a parking space, which can often be an expensive investment. In prime areas of Taipei, a parking space can start from a staggering 3 million NT. The price can go down significantly for automated parking systems and car parking towers, but still, prices start at a hefty 1.5 million NT.
If you do opt for a regular parking lot within your building complex, which spot should you pick? Let's hear from an expert.
The area right at the driveway can be quite dangerous because cars are more likely to crash into that area if the driver is drunk or tired. Spaces next to areas that accumulate garbage are quite smelly and they can be infested with cockroaches. Spaces between pillars or narrow spots are also no good. You might be able to park the car, but not be able to get out of the car. It's also best to steer clear of the bottom spot in automated mechanical parking systems. The return on investment and potential repair costs are not worth it. Plus, the entire system would have to be replaced after about 20 years. If you invest in an automated parking space, you won't get a good return on your investment.
According to an online vote, netizens also don't like parking spots under wastewater pipes in case of leaks. Areas at the back of the car park next to a wall are also undesirable, as they make maneuvering difficult and can be a real test for drivers. Meanwhile, spots near fire extinguishing equipment come with a higher risk of damaging your car. With so many things to consider, be sure to check all your options before making a purchase. A Kaohsiung department store has installed a new vending machine for gold. The machine is full of gold items such as bars, coins, and nuggets. The prices fluctuate based on gold markets and exchange rates.
But who wants to buy their gold from a vending machine? Jewelers point out that the novelty and convenience might be a draw, while others say that buying in store remains preferable.
On the sixth floor of this department store sits a vending machine with a CCTV camera on top. You choose a purchase and pay on the touchscreen, and out of the bottom drops a gold product in ostentatious packaging.
It's providing more options, another option to consider. I would consider it. It's novel.
At a traditional jeweler, the price of gold changes every day. This vending machine is mainly selling gold bars, coins, and nuggets made by overseas manufacturers. Prices are linked to global price indexes and exchange rates, so they'll cost different amounts as the price of gold fluctuates. But the machine has still attracted jewelers to have a try.
The price is a little higher than at jewelers like ours because it charges 5% tax, and in some vending machines, but the convenience of it is a kind of amusing gimmick and a novelty.
Here in a traditional jeweler's, a display case is packed with glittering gold items. Until now, visiting a store like this has been the normal way most people would buy gold.
When buying gold, we suggest you buy in-store, because in-store you can choose from a wider range of weights, more than in vending machines.
Gold sales are no longer confined to jewelers. But when buying a commodity as valuable as gold, buyers feel more secure when they can see and touch the item first. Vending machines can't provide that, but they do provide another consumer option in our fast-paced world.
ETRI forecasts that one in three cars will be self-driving by 2040. Tests of self-driving cars are well underway in Taiwan. In 2023, a fleet of self-driving buses was able to operate successfully in an urban area in a trial.
Such self-driving buses have been described as MRT-esque. But how do engineers go about testing self-driving cars? We take a visit to Taiwan Car Lab to find out more about the technologies being developed in the industry.
The self-driving cars of sci-fi movies are starting to appear in real life. As an IT superpower, Taiwan is not going to be left out of the field. This is Taiwan Car Lab, a center for testing self-driving cars. Zhang Longyao is the director of the internship program here.
To get a self-driving car on the road, you have the legal side, the environmental side, the lifestyle aspect, the applications. You need involvement from students from many different fields.
So, how exactly do you test a self-driving car? The Taiwan Car Lab looks like a tiny city or a huge driving school. The closed lab environment enables companies and scholars to safely test all kinds of technologies related to self-driving cars. The lab contains 13 types of highway installations, as well as soft test targets simulating pedestrians, cyclists, and other cars.
Engineers can design a road simulation to test the technologies they are developing. In the lab, self-driving cars come across many of the kinds of situations they might encounter on real roads. Deciphering traffic signals, dealing with complex traffic situations, avoiding a sudden scooter passing by. All these simulations test the capacity of the car. These tests are not an idle exercise of devil's advocate. Smart traffic systems will rely on each vehicle being connected to the Internet of Things. They'll be updated with messages about real-time road conditions, the arrival of ambulances, and traffic signals. This data will help vehicles avoid accidents, traffic jams, and roadblocks. If a self-driving car relied only on GPS technology, they would lose connection when entering a tunnel or another obstruction, which could be disastrous or render them immobile. That's why 5G technology and infrastructure will be needed to maintain stable connectivity, constituting a vital prerequisite for self-driving cars.
Now in its 24th year, the Yilan Green Expo will kick off on March 30th. This edition centers on the concept of an Earth Academy, offering 44 days of environmental education and fun for the whole family.
The expo's theme song was unveiled by Yilan officials at a press conference. The expo will have 16 exhibition areas named after academic departments, such the Department of Forestry. Visitors can learn about environmental and ecological conservation, as well as the UN's Sustainable Development Goals. In support of the expo, the new Taipei government will set up a pavilion at the event to showcase local agricultural goods. 谢谢.